Thank you, Mr. Chair. Allow me first to congratulate you, Ambassador, upon assumption of your duties and the excellent work in preparing this meeting. We believe that after a long pandemic-related break, the exchange of views in June was helpful to set us off to a dynamic and productive start. New and emerging technologies bring challenges to all layers of society, international governance, and indeed peace and security. People, not only inside this room, but also outside, have high expectations on this process. This is currently the only process specifically dedicated to sophisticated applications of new and emerging technologies in armed conflict. As you recalled this morning, Mr. Chair, people are watching this process. Given the interconnectivity of the high humanitarian, legal, ethical, and security challenges at hand, we believe that the GGE has an important role to play and deserves more political attention. This morning, a delegation referred to the need of the GGE to work result-oriented with a view to fulfilling our mandate to develop recommendations on the clarification, consideration, and development of aspects of the normative and operational framework. We agree with others that at this stage, after years of deliberation of this group, we should focus on substance to achieve what we have been tasked. Austria supports the view that this result-oriented focus on substantive recommendations should be the core of this year's work. Agenda item 5A has been a recurring agenda item in the GG for many years. In this regard, Mr. Chair, I will limit my intervention to some core aspects, so not to repeat comprehensively our previous interventions. First, as the High Representative of Disarmament Affairs highlighted this morning, humans must remain in meaningful control over the use of force at all times. This should be the guiding conviction for the work of our group. Keeping humans in meaningful control over weapon systems is key to achieving the objective of keeping humans in control over the use of force. Second, there is agreement in the GGE that IHL continues to apply fully to all weapon systems, including the potential development and use of laws. Yet many delegations, including my own, have also raised concerns that sophisticated levels of autonomy in weapon systems could undermine existing legal rules and frameworks, including IHL in human rights law and ethical standards. The focus of this agenda item throughout the years clearly demonstrated that there are different views as to where the current legal framework sets boundaries to increasing levels of autonomy in autonomous weapon systems. This is an indicator that high contracting parties interpret applicable in existing international law differently. To avoid legal insecurity and or ambiguities, my delegation advocates for setting out clear legally binding rules about what the international community would consider unacceptable and what would be acceptable within agreed limits. This takes me to my third point, Mr. Chair. Third, what the international community considers acceptable. While we see differences, whether new rules are required or existing law is sufficient, I believe that there are areas of convergence emerging of what the group considers unacceptable. First, autonomous weapon systems that operate without any meaningful human control or uncontrollable systems. Second, weapon systems that are unpredictable due to concerns about inter alia international law compliance, human accountability, and human responsibility. Third, weapon systems that cannot be integrated into a responsible chain of command, which we need for keeping control over the use of force. Humans need to be accountable for the use of force at all times. Further unacceptable characteristics might emerge during our deliberations. Fourth, through our discussions over the past years, it has become clear that for those systems that are not inherently unacceptable, Further regulations, in particular on limitations in time and space, would be at the fore of our deliberations. We look forward to further discussing the relevant boundaries later this week. Fifth, we should also reaffirm that weapons, means, and methods of warfare cannot be used or conducted, can only be used and conducted in compliance with IHL. And if they cannot be used or conducted in compliance with IHL, they must not be developed. In the context of autonomous weapon systems, upholding the principles of distinction, proportionality, and precautions in attack deserve particular attention, including through weapons testing and Article 36 reviews. However, effectively preventing unintended consequences, it would require a clear legal baseline that should be internationally set rather than being determined by national interpretation of international rules. Because such national interpretation of international rules might lead to a problematic erosion of existing law. Sixth, we should also keep ethical and human rights concern at the fore of our considerations. Given the particular nature of autonomous weapon systems, many colleagues highlighted the relevance of the Martins Clause, ethical considerations, and human rights law to our debate. My delegations continue to believe that autonomous weapon systems that are not under meaningful human control must not kill humans, or, to put it differently, limits on the applications of technology must be set to ensure that humans are not killed by merely highly sophisticated weapon systems without any human control or involvement. Securing meaningful human control also contributes to upholding international human rights law, including human dignity. Mr. Chair, as the ICSC said earlier today, high contracting parties have a responsibility and an opportunity to clarify the legal framework. We have an opportunity for our group to establish what we consider is absolutely unacceptable and what would be acceptable as long as certain key boundaries are defined. In our GG, we are not dealing with a defined weapon, as we did in other relevant disarmament issues. We are dealing with applications of new technologies, and these technologies are not static. So should our process not be static, and we should define the absolutely unacceptable weapons and then complement this by defining borders which would further be clarified through the negotiations but also through later assessing implementation of these future specific rules. I thank you, Mr. Chair.